You're listening to Around Comics, episode 131.
The sleepy episode.
This is Around Comics, the comic book roundtable, where twice a week you'll hear a revolving panel of guests discuss everything in and around the world of comic books and graphic novels. On every Thursday episode, just like this one, you'll hear either topic discussions, creator interviews, Comics 101, or creator spotlights. Today we're talking about the pros and cons of singles and collected editions. I'm Christopher Nieman.
Let's ponder that topic for a second in our minds.
Everyone think about it.
Consider it. I'm Christopher Nieman. Let me introduce the rest of the panel. Mr. Scotty Young.
Do you guys like my girlfriend's ass?
Sweet. Awesome. Slap it. With a...
I'll tape it.
Water balloon.
I'll tape, videotape with a water balloon.
You're a kinky motherfucker.
I was going to say, man, there's your first $9.95 option right there.
Jesus. It gets late. It gets late around
Scotty's house.
I bet Buck
will see that. That'd be nice.
Sells water balloon asses.
.com.
We also...
Word balloon, water balloon.
Exactly.
Back from Monday's episode, the ghost of John Suntris has decided to hang around.
Yes, I refuse to appear on camera because of federal pending litigation. So I will just be a voice and say hello.
And Dan DiDio won't let you any longer.
No, that's it.
Do this.
Get out of here. Get out of my shot.
He is in small claims court with Dan, I think.
Cease and desist.
He's going to be on
People's Court. The iFanboy video from Chicago was so funny when Dan's just like, I can't do this.
I know, I'm a giant sweaty gorilla, just like, get the hell away from me, weirdo.
Mr. Brian Salazar, as always.
Yes, I'm here.
And Mr. Tom Cage.
I've got nothing.
Hey.
All right, well, water
I have allergies. Right,
before we get into our main topic,
I want to twist in weird animal shapes.
Can I leave?
Before we get into our main topic discussion, I want to let everyone know that this episode of Around Comics is sponsored by InStockTrades.com.
Good people there.
Waiting for the trade has never been easier. InStockTrades.com offers a huge selection of the collected editions you need. InStockTrades.com is your source for trade paperbacks, deluxe hardcovers, essentials, showcases, archives, absolute editions, omnibus editions, and water balloons. All that great discounted prices. Remember that all orders are $50.
Ass is not included.
No. Whether you are buying an absolute
Bring
edition
your own ass.
Or catching up with showcases and essentials, InStockTrades.com is your new best friend. Your old best friend runs the video camera for your website.
Why do we all have hard-ons
They only represent
right
half of the argument, I guess, like, today's show.
Normally, Around Comics is recorded every Friday at 7 o'clock at Dark Horse Comics and Collectibles.
7 a.m.
But Mark is busy LARPing tonight, so he couldn't house us.
We walked in, but he was invisible.
They're located at 4835 Northwestern Avenue in Chicago. If you're in the area, please drop by. We would love to meet you.
But tonight we're at the fucking
Scotty's Mom's basement.
All right, well,
it's gonna be so good.
Trades versus single issues. It is one of the hot button topics in comics today.
Hot button.
What are the books
some people don't know about
better as monthly titles? What reads better as a trade?
Everything.
What books can you get different things out if you read them either way? There's no question that trades have changed the way that a lot of comics are written and purchased. We're going to talk about the pros and cons of putting serialized fiction into single collections. So, singles versus trades.
I've decided.
What?
Sal
has the answer.
No. Yes. And it is maybe.
Maybe.
Possibly. No, I've decided to try and limit a single issue purchases from now on. I'm trying to get to none. Yeah. I'm trying to
really?
Get to zero single
issues.
I've
brought you to the dark side.
Yeah, I've gotten to the point where I just don't want them anymore. I don't want boxes of comics. I don't want a bag and board shit and alphabetize, and I don't want to do any of that stuff anymore. So I'm all for everything. I want everything in trades. I would have no problem if there were no single issues.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's certainly the collector aspect of, you know, we're you know, let's call it what it is. We're getting older. It's don't have as much space around the house, and comics take up a lot of space. Having boxes everywhere, and I would much rather have collections, whether they're
hardcovers
or trades or whatever, out on shelves. You know, there's that aspect. But, you know, I think one of the things that I wanted to talk about a little bit tonight was, you know, the actual, you know, craft of making comics and how some comics really do work better.
I don't know how that's done.
Well, I think a lot of books, especially in the last couple of years, have been, I mean, I'll use like Powers for an example, just to throw one out there that is obviously written for one giant book, to the point where sometimes, I mean, I've never actually read the book in an issue form, but in the trade form, because it's most of the time not even split by covers, it literally just goes from page one to the end, you can tell that book really was never intended almost in a way to be put out singles.
I think Bendis has improved his storytelling since those early Powers days, but I agree with you. I think, and even there were Marvel examples where, we're at 22 pages, book's over.
Yeah.
Issue is over. And yeah, I agree with you. I think that a guy specifically like Bendis has kind of made more of an effort to have, and in fact, I'd even point to the most recent issue of Powers, 25, that had a nice oh shit moment in its final page. Mm-hmm. But I think what I like is that some, very few, but some books have returned to making the single issue important. And I like things like Jonah Hex, which, you know, its original story back in the 70s, they were 11-page and 14-page stories. But it's nice to see that Jimmy and Justin are able to put together a nice story and have a complete story in 22 pages. So I appreciate good single issues. Paul Dini is doing an excellent job right now in Detective. I think from that standpoint.
Detective is one that I read in singles, and then I bought the trade, and I really preferred the single issues as reading it as a very serialized story. It's like, okay.
You know what? I would like, just for a test, based on what you just said there, because I think that because, and this is just a possibility, but as a test, pick a series and read the trade first, then go back and read the single issues. Because nobody ever, like, there you read the single issues, then you read the trade, and you said you preferred the single issues. But was it partly because you had already read the single issues? Or
could
was
have been.
It, you know, yeah, or was it because the information was already retained?
Yeah, because I understand, like you were saying with Detective and with Jonah Hex, we talked about that before, how it was kind of cool to see these single self-contained issues, and I like that too, but I don't know that, I mean, it would, like, picking up I read the first trade of Jonah Hex, and all those stories are single self-contained issues with a little bit of a thread that kind of went through them, but... Mm-hmm. But reading, whether you're reading it in single issues or whether you're reading it in trade, I mean, I think something like that, it's almost a novelty at this point, you know what I mean? Because so much stuff is written for trade, for, six-issue story arcs, that kind of thing, that it's, you know, a Batman or a Jonah Hex, the few books that are out there that are being done in single, self-contained stories, we just kind of look at it and go, well, it's kind of cool, and it's just the novelty aspect of it, that they're kind of harkening back to the years ago.
Yeah, I feel that with the single issues, especially when somebody is obviously writing, like, let's say a 6-issue series, when somebody's taking the 6-issue series and they're obviously writing it for one big arc and almost forcing 6 small endings, when that gets traded to me, it almost feels like, God, it just overly choppy.
Right.
Because you can tell that they wanted this to be a big story. And it's like, again, watching a movie or something where you break it down into 3 acts.
Mm-hmm.
And where a trade big arc feels like a movie, except all of a sudden there feels like 6 pieces that keep kind of chopping up because obviously it had to be divided into
6
months worth of publishing or whatever. And
well, and I think you run into the problem, and you brought up Bendis, and I think he's one of the main names people talk about when... You know, and you
writing
know,
for the trade.
Writing for the trade. I mean, he was like the guy that
the poster boy of decompression.
Yeah, but and he even got to the point where it was like he was. I mean, you can go back to some of the stuff that he was doing in Daredevil and different stories where he wasn't even doing self-contained issues. You know what I mean? He would have a six-issue arc or longer, mm-hmm. and like the act structure was so weird on some of that stuff where it was like you'd read three issues and that was the half acts of the story.
He'd have a whole trade as one act. Yeah. It's fresh in my mind because I've read almost six of those trades, the Bendis run on Daredevil just in the last couple of weeks, where it almost feels like one trade is one act and another trade is another act because he had a whole
five-year plan.
Yeah, that was a whole arc, a huge storyline. Now, and to me, I can't comment on the other side, but I almost feel like, God, if I would have read this in single issues, I would have wanted to beat the shit out of someone.
And you had a lot of people that agreed with you.
And there was a 6-month hiatus when Mac was thrown in with his Echo story and Daredevil,
was
a great injustice.
Of waiting for information. I'm reading the trades and I still feel like, God, you know.
Let's go. Well, I think you run into the problem though. Like you said, it's like you have to. I mean, I think as comic writers, you have to, when you're writing single issues, they have to feel like, okay, I have to have some sort of story in this issue. It has to have at least the feel of a complete story to some degree.
Do you guys think that? Do you think that? I feel like sometimes when I read an issue, and you obviously they have to force it into a single issue, but also an overall arc, it almost feels like a burden to them.
Sometimes, sure.
Yeah.
I think that some writers are much better than others, and I'm going to use one writer as an example in one series. And it's kind of funny because this is a series that a lot of people talk about in trades, and that's why The Last Man. You know, you see it all over the place. Like, oh, I bought the first trade of Why the Last Man. I love it. You know, I let so-and-so borrow it, and I read it in trades. I could read it in trades, but I love picking that series up month to month because Brian K. Vaughan does a fantastic job of making each issue has a payoff and fantastic cliffhangers at the end of every issue. And he works that into a 4 or 5 or 6 issue arc. And so he's very good at having these not self-contained stories for every issue, but every issue has a beginning, middle, and then a cliffhanger end until the last issue has a resolution. And he is really good at writing for the trade, but still embracing the single issue.
The thing that is kind of surprised me is that, I mean, you have television, which is episodic, and
your template.
Yeah, I mean, you would think more people would follow that.
It's an unfair comparison, though. Please finish your thought, because I'll tell when people bring up TV, it makes me jump in, but go ahead.
Well, as far as, it's an unfair comparison as far as what, though? I mean,
weekly versus monthly. Because I can get through a story knowing that it's coming up in a week, and that's why I like 52 so much and was able to stay with 52.
Right.
Because payoffs would come weekly. Monthly, I think waiting 30 days for the next chapter is asking a lot from someone who is getting entertainment. I think that. I mean, it's a regular schedule, ideally, and for the most part it is.
Being 22 pages, to me it's not even like waiting a month for an hour-long drama. It's like waiting a month for a 30-minute drama.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like, if I watched 30 minutes per month of television, would I still be watching that show?
I said that to Quesada. I'm like, because he said, well, it's no different than waiting a week for an episode. I said, no, forgive me. I said, but in an hour of television, you're getting a complete story plus the meta plot that is the season long plot.
And it was after that conversation that they announced the weekly Spider-Man.
I mean, you see it in comics. It done in comics that way, that there are comics that come out in 22 page formats that are,
like Dini.
Yeah, I mean, it's not it's impossible to do.
It can be done. But I do think you have to be a good writer to do
it. Absolutely.
And have that in mind. I mean,
was more my point, if you're forced to doing it, I know a lot of creators don't like the idea of monthly schedules and 22 pages a month and that, and that kind of thing. But if you're forced to do it, I'm just kind of surprised that more people don't use that as some sort of ground,
template,
yeah.
I think, to me, there's certain series, like the whole Rip Rapto trades versus single issues. I think sometimes writers and creators and, fans take the format for granted in a way, because there's a way to use there's a way to use sort of the collected edition and do sort of creative things with that format. There's ways to be sort of creative with the monthly format. Like, I think of like an issue like Starman. Starman was really great because you'd have these single issues where it would be like a flashback and it'd have a different artist doing something, you know, and it was a change of pace from the main story, but it would still fit in, and it was a creative way to sort of use that monthly format.
Iron Fist
you know,
is doing that now, too. Yeah, Fraction and Brubaker are doing
just
that.
Just take advantage of that instead of, like, well, it's got to be monthly, so here's 22 pages of this story, and get sort of creative with, you know, how to present stuff, you know, in that way.
I think I wish that I feel like we're in a time in the industry right now where we're at this weird crossroads of where we're going to go, and I feel that our whole industry is based on single issues that then go to collected. Yeah. Because while I'm not one of the people, I know that there's many, many people that enjoy the serialized single issues, and I would never want that to go away for those people that like that. I wish it wasn't almost a discussion of single issues versus trades rather than it was a single issues versus graphic novels.
Right.
Instead of people writing single issues that don't have endings on every issue because it's going to be a trade, I wish some of the companies would just almost say, let's jump off the cliff right now and take this section of our company and instead of doing and just do OGNs.
And it's funny because like Marvel was doing that when graphic novels first came out.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what they were doing. They weren't doing collected editions. Right. It was standalone graphic novels. You know, that weren't even that long.
No, they're pretty.
You
know, they're like 48 page.
Right.
You know, 64
I mean?
Page.
You know, and then
prestige format.
They went away from that.
And I feel that goes along with what you're saying. Yeah. Is it's let the people that are good at writing single issues write the single issues and put that creativity into forming single issues that can also be later compiled together and enjoyed both ways. And let's take this other section and craft good stories. No matter what length they are.
Well, it's because it's like everyone acts like it's written in stone somewhere that comics need to be presented in 22 pages.
It is very much.
Yeah, but that was the old business model. Yeah, I mean, that was a business model that worked for decades.
Yeah, I'm, the you thing, know, though, so. I mean, but it doesn't have to be.
Right, it shouldn't be the norm. No, you're right.
We're seeing other foreign markets that are kicking incredible amounts of ass.
Sure.
That show that you can put out a 150-page.
Well, why do you think it is that we've been, you know, like Marvel DC has been so reluctant to do
honestly,
it?
Honestly, it's like almost even when we were talking about this side of it, it's almost something that I don't think any of us could sit here and actually give an even close to informed answer on. I mean,
I remember what Quesada has said because it always comes up
Joe. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you now that heads of companies, when they tell fans, when they give out their answers, they're giving you answers that you can take away from a convention panel and be somewhat happy with. We'll never fully understand the business workings.
But don't I can see them still making their money presenting both ways and satisfying the people that need their pull boxes filled every week, and then also that if they were just to instead go to a two-a-year graphic novel system, that they wouldn't make as much money. That providing both ways is generating more income. I mean, I think from a volume standpoint, that makes sense.
I mean, there's issues of.
I agree with you though. I'd love to live in the world.
Yeah, I mean, there's
you know.
I mean, even being on the other side of it, the business side of it, it's such an. It's this
clouded.
Yeah, it's such an insane world. I mean, part of it's what Tom was saying of people that have been around so long that, well, why would I ever come up with another system, buddy? This is the system, right? We write with chisel and stone.
Look at the record industry. Look at all the media industries. I think everyone is kind of wrestling with this problem of the way we used to do business versus the way things are now.
Yeah.
Well, and I think we had talked about it before. It's like it will change. It's just a matter of being when they're forced to. Right.
Or who's willing to make the first step.
Well, but I still think nobody. I mean, change is difficult in business, and I think the only thing that forces businesses to make change is when they're losing money and they
on a business end. And again, I don't. There's not a lot that we can go into on the business side, but we tend to forget that our industry is not ran by fans purchasing things, and our business is not really at this point ran by the bookstores purchasing things. It's ran by the very few direct market retailers that order books from Diamond. Mm-hmm. So as opposed to the thousands of fans that buy comic books, that weirdly enough, like any other entertainment industry, that's not really who drives. It's the retailers, those few retailers. So until, I mean, those retailers would close shop if it went all trades. And at this point in the business model, I mean, like I said, I think it's a big
DC
cloudy.
Don't DC and Marvel, for example, have enough product? Because I would love to live in that world that you're describing, yeah, where literally, just think of all the Batman miniseries that come out in a year. Isn't that enough where you would have a monthly Batman graphic novel or every 2 months? And fine, maybe January is Batman, February is Superman, March is The Flash. I mean, that's what I mean. And couldn't you set up enough
It'll
creative
be there
teams?
Soon.
I mean, I hope so. The other thing that I'm wondering about is, as the $3.99 model for the single issue comes up, you've got certain, and really even $4.99 in some cases, like Mystery in Space. DC's you know, miniseries from last year. You had the front story and you had the backup story. Yeah, Jim Starlin doing both stories, writing both stories and drawing the backup and as well as writing it. And I was surprised that they weren't going for more of a meatier one-shot single issue that might handle 48 pages, and you get a more substantial story.
Well, sometimes you forget.
Isn't Marvel getting ready to do that with their
the weekly?
No, Marvel Presents.
Well, no, because, again, it's a weekly, but it sounds more, it's so funny because they're like, oh, we've learned our lessons and stuff. I don't see the difference from what they're proposing to what they had back in the 90s, both DC and Marvel, with the weekly comics. There are a few stories that are going to be serialized, and then there are going to be 8 and 10. I mean, I don't know, Scotty, are you working on any of those stories for Marvel?
Spider-Man stuff?
No, not the Spider-Man stuff.
The Marvel Presents?
Yeah, Marvel Presents.
No, not at the moment.
Because I think they're self-contained stories. There are going to be some 10-page and 11-page stories.
I mean, it's just... There was X-Men Unlimited, and now...
Double Shot. Remember Double Shot, too?
I mean, now it's just Marvel's
really
new
like
anthology
that
allows some other creators to get in there and do some little
stuff. Yeah.
It reminds me a lot of, like, the movie industry at one point in time where there were so many fewer theaters, and they could really dictate the success of a film so much more. And that distribution system was so much smaller
and slower.
And you had so many fewer people making decisions that, you know, it was...
A movie was out for like 6 months.
Yeah, and there were only a few movies out, you know what I mean?
Yep.
And then all of a sudden you became these huge multiplexes that
are
showing... Or they'd come
regionally in waves, because literally the film camps were moving from the East Coast to the Midwest to the West Coast.
You know, and that's part of the problem is that it's just, like you said, you have these... a very small group of people that are making the decisions. Mm-hmm. It's not based on really fan want or need, or, you know, it's based on what these guys that have been doing the same thing for 25 years, what they believe.
Well, I think I've talked about this on a creator level of wanting to do a creator-owned project where I myself would rather produce a graphic novel simply... Not just because I think you're able to tell a better solid story on that size, but just on the side of a retailer's aspect, that no matter how good or bad my book is, no matter what the subject matter, no matter what the content, by the time my first issue has hit shelves, the retailer has already got 3 issues ordered and his formula for every book is in place. Just for, we're just going to throw out random numbers. Issue number 1 sells, I ordered 5,000. Issue number 2, I cut that in half. I'm going down to 2,500. Issue 3, I'm cutting that down by 25%. Then maybe once issue 1 comes out in the store. So as a creator who's trying to get my book out to the world, I've battled against a person who did not even, nobody has read my content
read
yet,
it.
And I've already lost sales.
Yeah.
So it's like, as a creator, do I put my trust in a formula that works across the board no matter who or what the book is? Or would I like it to rather be like a book market where it's just like, I'm going to write my book, put it out, and then you guys tell me. You guys, like fans and people who go to bookstores then determine how many copies of a book sell. Not the guy.
Welcome to the direct market.
It's just
what about?
That's why I don't get the small press people and how they're able to put out single issues, because it's like you guys are losing money anyway. I don't know why you do it. I really don't.
The love of the
media. I don't understand a lot of that either, because
you know?
It's like
there's good concepts.
Love for it, but why? Yeah, why? If you're going to do that, why not just put it out in PDF form and just email it to people. Because you're going to lose money printing it.
Let's
and
do
see
this.
Less people actually
Real
see
quick,
it.
Because we are definitely starting to dive into more business stuff here. Like, let's go around maybe and talk more about a couple books on each side of the line.
Hi, I'm Ed Brubaker. When I'm not waiting for the trade, I like to listen to a Round Comics podcast.
I read as a collection, which came out in single issues, was Daredevil Born Again, the Frank Miller, David Mazzucchelli run. Whenever I read that, it occurred to me about halfway through that I wasn't reading it right. It's...
You had started in the back.
I thought it was
upside down.
I thought it was manga.
Story of
bad.
I'm not
with,
reading
you know.
This right. This makes
no,
sense.
But
he's right.
The way. And Miller was using the monthly
schedule.
Issue as a writing tool. And you really kind of needed that month in between the issues for that tension to build as Murdoch is starting to fall into this
despair.
Just pit of despair and
ruin.
And, yeah, and
literal ruin. Because you do, you flip a page and he's goes from being okay, the Kingpin knows who I am and everything's bad to you flip the page. And it's like, why is he sleeping in what looks like a bare room?
Why is he
covered in newspapers?
Now?
And yeah, it's like. What happened? And because a month passed, and
yeah, and so reading it all in one collection, turn the page, you don't get that passage of time, and so that series, why it's a great collection. Go out and get Born Again if you hadn't read it, but be very aware of the necessary passage of time in between issues.
I always feel like the single issues, because it's been a really really long time since I've read any number of books. Maybe one here or there, but like your average common fan is, you know, how many books on their pull list every month?
36.
Yes.
I don't know.
For me, it's like watching.
Probably four
let,
or five
let's say
for the average.
It's like the question I have for people who are able to do it is, like, it's like watching 30 baseball games one day.
Awesome.
In a day, and watching just one inning, or let two or three innings, and then waiting a month. And
see,
watching the same games and a couple more innings and trying to remember all the different games, all the different stats, and all the different
But I would say there's one difference in that, though, is that, and I was going to mention this, like, the book, it's not exactly like watching 30 baseball games, because, like, if you have a pull list that has, you know, a comedy book in it and
right.
a horror book in it, and you have your superhero book.
Right.
But, you know, part of what I was going to mention about the... Sometimes certain books, like, I like comedy books, but I have a hard time reading comedy, like, trades of it, because it almost becomes too much.
Too much, right. Yeah.
And, like, I like
I
having that,
Mongo
like, mixed
issues,
in
yeah.
with, you know, with, I find the superhero ones easier to read, you know, in big chunks, because they all sort of have a homogenous
right.
sort of style and, like, feel to it, but I kind of like having that, you know, a comedy mixed in there, you know,
right.
and it's nice and a nice... You know, once a month to have that thrown in there. But reading a trade of it, it's just like...
I'll give you
I could almost feel like that. Like, when I've read Invincible, I felt like... I mean, I like Kirkman's writing, and I love Ryan's art. But I felt reading the collected versions of Invincible sometimes because of the lighthearted, almost comedy
yeah.
aspects it has at times. I almost... There would be times where I agree with you there that I'm like, oh, my, maybe this would be better... Chopped
small,
up.
Are you yeah? Are you rushing through a trade because it's all right there?
Yeah.
Sometimes the two extremes that I can think of where I enjoy both either in single issue or trades, I've been able to switch over successfully to trades with Ennis's Punisher, the Max series. I love the idea that that twice a year I get a cool Garth Ennis crime story. And I'm very happy by that. And
see, I love that in single issues.
See, well,
the best
there you
thing
go.
Is do what I do and stop reading comics for about 6 years.
Yeah,
well, that's
kind of
what you have to do.
And then it's
Scotty.
Awesome.
Because, yeah. Because
you
no,
got
it right. I don't know if I could break from my soap opera
200 trades to sift through, and it's
yeah.
sweet.
But the other extreme for single issues that I really enjoy, and probably because he and Ellis, with their $1.99 format, and you guys know where I'm going with this, have figured out how to make the single issue matter. I love Casanova in single issues, and I'll throw Criminal in there as well. I think Fraction does a better job of giving you the full story for $1.99 versus what
Bruin and Sean Phillips do, and mm-hmm. throw Fabio Moon obviously in there for Casanova currently. But I love the back matter in both. I love the text.
Casanova.
Yeah, I love the text pages in both books. But I really like Fraction, just opening Fraction's head and seeing what's inside of it for what inspired
scary,
it for that issue.
Thing.
It's funny as hell. And I love the text pieces in Criminal because you get Patton Oswalt talking about why he loves a certain movie, and they get great screenwriters and comic book people and funny people to talk about their favorite noir stories. And it's excellent. It's wonderful. And I mean, it's and unfortunately, you're denied that from the trade, and the reason why is because he wants to make the single issues matter. So he gets it, and I appreciate that. And I know Ellis does the same thing with Fell, so I think that's kind of neat.
You know, we had talked about 52 a little while ago, and 52 is now coming out in trade, and they're coming out with, what, like four issues on a trade once a month. So
is it four? Only four issues, really?
I think
I have the first two volumes of it, and it's... Mm-hmm. I think there's six to eight in each.
Oh,
of
that's
those.
What I was going to say.
It's
yeah,
a
I thought so.
Chunky
okay, so
trade.
Out, so. Oh yeah, I thought it was a typical looking trade.
Okay, but still, to read that in trade,
you guys love my house.
Wasn't the draw of 52 that it was a weekly single issue series? I wonder how people are making that waited for that trade. I wonder what impact the series is having trade format.
I don't know anyone who waited for 52 in trade.
There are a lot of people.
Countdown's lost its focus because it doesn't have that gravitas of each issue of, you know, well, you've got to read this because you don't want to wait and see what happens, because it's reflecting what's going on in DCU for the month, and it doesn't have that need to read each issue.
I think that does bring up one thing that sort of is probably the biggest reason why I'm hesitant to drop everything in single issue and go to trades is because allergies and no, but because you won't know what's going on in mainstream stuff.
I'll tell you.
No, it's a soap opera, man. I can appreciate that.
You know, well, I mean, you'll just kind of be behind the time, behind the scenes. I mean, it's like. I mean, especially for me, because being on the show every week and feeling the need to kind of have to know what's going on, so I'm informed about stuff.
I'm impressed. You've shifted your entire media experience to DVDs and stuff like that. You don't have to. You're not tied down to TV or any.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Just as sort of a fan of like of comics and like, you know, wanting to kind of know what's going on in the world. It's like it'll be 6 months before I find out what's going on. Really. But at the same time, it's like it's just so hard, I think, like you were talking about before. I find so many times that I pick up a single issue of something, and I have to go back to the last one to remember what the hell happened so that I can read this next one, as opposed to a trade where it's like, you know, you have your six issues or whatever, and it's self-contained.
I just can't find myself, no matter how good a writer is, I can't bring myself... And not that I can't bring myself, I'd like to, but I just can't find 22 pages all that satisfying. Groundbreaking to me. Yeah. I mean, it takes anything that only takes me 5 to 8 minutes to get through. I mean, that's like saying one song will knock me off, like listening to it one time will knock me back for 3 months. You know what I mean? Like, but I have read a trade paperback or a graphic novel that has had that effect on me where I went, or just like I've read any novel or watched a movie.
Harry Potter.
Yeah,
Said Tazzarello about 100 bullets. He said, if I can take a shit faster than finishing your comic, then there's a problem with this issue.
No,
and that's basically what he's saying.
100 bullets. Well, that brings up, it's like, there's some books that need to be written. Read.
That book is hard to understand in trade.
Oh, yeah. In trade, in trade, it fucks your mind up.
But it is. It's a brilliant collection of
especially,
trades. It really is.
Especially nowadays, since once we got past kind of the overly written stuff where there's a lot of narrative and a lot of thought balloon, you know, like a lot of the extra stuff where there's tons of text. I mean, we're getting to a place where books are being read exactly like a movie, where there's, you know, where there
no
used
dialogue.
To be word balloons everywhere and on top of that narrative boxes where, I mean, just for example, not saying this was groundbreaking writing or anything, but I was just rereading through their old Spawn books and I was blown away by how many damn words were on every page. I mean, it was like reading a novel with pictures.
And these are the image books that always got the knock of being not enough dialogue.
Oh, my God.
Art,
I mean, you read through the Spawn books, and I'm serious. It took me hours to read through these things.
Yep.
And now you're reading through, and it is like watching a movie where it's like, hey, what? Fuck you.
Yeah, but I don't know that that's necessarily a good thing.
No,
I don't know that it's a good thing.
I'm not saying it's good or bad, but I'm saying that we've got to that place where there's less narrative, there's less of that
stuff.
Well,
it's certainly more
so. It's more just
prides itself on the three-page sequence that has no dialogue and lets the art tell the story.
And for a 22-page book, that's where I'm finding the... It's like, it's great on one end, but on the other end, I'm like... Especially living in Chicago, that means I got to go get on the L... I got to take the train down to my comic book shop once a week. So I spend more time traveling to get my books than I will spend reading the books. Is that worth it for me? Is it worth the time? Is it worth me? And let's face it. I mean, comic books are not...
Order them online.
$1.50 anymore, right?
Exactly.
Yeah,
$3.
Yeah,
and that's price that point.
$3.99
is
insane.
Now.
It's
a huge issue.
That's another reason why I'm...
So we're looking at a huge... price disparity between single issues and trades. Single issue, $3 average, and a trade is going to average, what, $12.95 to...
probably 15 is your average.
I've noticed trades are getting a little more expensive.
I think really $20 is really the average trade.
$14 for six issues. Well, you know, the Vertigo, $9.99.
For the first one.
Yeah, exactly. It's like,
and then they fuck you.
Exactly.
Let's
get you on the
in.
Comeback. They make the money on the comeback.
Are the second volumes more?
Yeah. Sure
I would say
15
bucks is probably an average.
Okay.
I would say average. 15, 17. You're going to see in the $19.99, the $24.99 ones, and you're going to see the $9.99 ones, but probably an average is 15, 17.
And I'm going to throw this one out there, and I won't get scowled at by Mark because we're not at Dark Tower. But you know, $15 to $20, but you go to Amazon, you go to InStockTrades.com, and you're going to get it for 30-35% off.
Sure.
You know, that's cutting a lot of money of what your normal comics would be.
Let's not forget this either about the trades and the graphic novels is companies know that that's where the money is. That's where they're really making some money. So you can always get them. They're going to keep them in print.
Yeah.
I mean, this print-to-order shit and barely printing over is crazy for somebody who cannot make it to... I mean, as the older you get, if you still want to remain in comics, you have jobs. We have a lot of... It gets tougher and tougher to make it to...
Girlfriends.
Yeah, I mean...
Children.
So all of a sudden you miss some date. What if all of a sudden, you know, what? You don't have this issue anymore. All of a sudden, are you fucked? No, I mean, we got the internet now. You can get online, but it still becomes a hassle to try I mean, I know trades. I mean, I'm reading trades that right now, like Preacher, obviously, is around in 95.
Right.
And I could go into any store at any time right now, and that book is still there.
Yeah.
If trades and graphic novels were not where they are today, could I go back and find single issues?
But I think you still have that collector mentality out there so much of people that want the original issue and, you know, are hoping that it goes up in price or whatever else, other thing, you know what I mean? It's like, I've gotten completely past that where I could give a shit whatever it's worth.
I hope there's less of those. I really do.
I think there are less of them, but they are still out there. And I think going back to the direct market, those guys are of that breed.
You know
what I mean? It's like, so they're, you know, it's like how many variant covers and everything else.
I don't care about having the single issue from a collector standpoint. I just still love the serialized nature of comics. I want to read them.
Well, you're wrong.
I do like, going every Wednesday, but I would prefer to go into a world where, you know, if I went in every Wednesday, I'd buy two graphic novels as opposed to 10.
Yeah.
$3 comics.
Honestly, like my perfect situation would be is like reading them monthly digitally and then getting the trade when it comes out.
Take it easy, Johnny Mnemonic.
Yeah.
I eat a pill and the comic appears in my mind.
There is one series that comes to mind that I think I will miss reading it in single issues.
New X-Men?
There's New X.
Scotty has New
sweet,
X-Men.
Sweet covers. Walking Dead is a series that I really...
No, you know what? It's awesome in trade.
Oh, I'm sure it is, but there's just something
about...
Oh, it's
great in single issues, too.
That's one book that I look forward to every month. And it's going to be a little hard for me to wait.
Or every week.
You know I'll tell you what.
Yeah, that is the weirdest release schedule. They're running like weekly right now.
He doesn't when he wants to.
And then
I'll tell you what the best thing to do then is to like to really take yourself out of it. Instead of going, like, stop getting the single issues. And instead of then picking up the next trade and reading it, really go through withdrawal and don't read. Because what I'm doing, like, I read
the shakes.
I read,
for years.
I read four trades of Walking Dead, and the fifth one wasn't out yet. The fifth one has come out, and because I'm in a trade world in my head, I was like, I've read enough Walking Dead. I shelved five, and I'll wait until number six comes out, or number five, number six, whatever numbers they are.
You're dealing on like some sort of celestial time scale.
But that's well, my other with problem. Punisher. Yeah. I buy it, and if I don't feel like reading it right away, it's like fine.
So
I'll shelf a couple trades.
There's plenty of other books to read, and you really stack up the fucking, yeah, baby, what you want? But no, I'm not going to do it. I'm a cock tease.
Well, the other thing, though, is that I'm so in love with hardcovers. So it's like I'm looking at waiting even longer.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
For hardcovers,
collector, you're still the guy.
No,
I just love the hardcovers. They're so
Captain
nice.
America, that the trade schedule on that is incredibly slow. Or Planet Hulk. Planet Hulk is another example. They just came out with the first six issues, or they haven't even come out with the soft cover yet. It's only the hardcover. So I mean, that's the thing. I think
the hardcover is so worth it.
I mean, Captain America essentially is still the same story. Now we're 30 issues into it. From issue one of Brubaker's run, it's still part of this big story. Much like
he's
Bendis's Daredevil. Well, but my point is that, you know, the trades, they're only up to like number 18 or whatever.
Well, if you notice the companies that are going on that are coming out with these hardcovers first, if you notice, it's almost like baby steps towards doing what the book market does. The book market always puts off. Regular novels always put out their hardcovers first,
and
that
is
the book.
Paperback, right.
Yes, the paperback's later as an extra for like, okay, now that everybody's read our book,
that's the gravy.
We're going to make it very easy for anybody to carry around. But we want you to get the beautiful version of this work
like
of art.
It's like technology, too. I mean, it's like, you know, it was front end that technology, and it's, you know,
I always figured it was more of a library thing, too.
So
just because then that
it may be.
And that has been a nice envoy for comics to make it into the
so like 20 years from now, what they'll do is they'll come out with the absolute edition
first,
and then the hardcover, then the trade,
exactly.
And then break it into single issues for you to read.
There you go.
And then the pill
for the four people still alive. That like
it'll be me. It'll be me.
Like the major,
you're
going to
create
check
it.
Me in.
Well,
dude, you're like,
I mean,
Steve Jobs.
And not to get back to like the business end of it too, but it's like, I mean, you know, I think there's some money behind some of this too. Is like, well, we can put out single issues, and in,
I mean,
in
they're making
three,
money.
If three, in 3 months, if it's not doing well, we can cancel it.
Well,
whereas if we go to a trade format and it's a six issue trade that we're going to put that out first. You've already paid the artist and the writer and everybody for six issues.
Yeah, but see, we're in this.
And if it dumps, it's a lot of money. You've
but how? But
you
it
can't change the
but
artist.
But we're in a weird area where. How does it? It won't dump the same way because the book will sell. By the time people don't like it, they've already bought it. Got their money. It's like television now, right?
Yeah,
like,
maybe.
These television stations are canceling shows before they've had a chance to put the first season out on DVD.
Right.
What they don't understand is there's a million people out in the world like me
waiting,
who I don't have time to schedule out my week according to network television time.
John from Cincinnati.
So I literally buy, and I'm talking about almost every show that puts out a DVD. I have the set and watch them. I mean, I watch everything.
Collector.
Yeah. Because I love watching television shows,
well, you're
but I don't have the
you're
time.
You're an entertainment on demand person.
Yes. And so for this year, like Friday Night Lights is a show that I absolutely think is amazing.
Awesome show.
One of the best shows on television.
I agree.
It was about 2 inches away from cancellation.
The entire run, absolutely.
Almost ready for cancellation. And I thought, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, it was a great
and
show.
I had watched it all on iTunes. I got it all. And I thought, they're just not smart enough to realize, like,
people
heard how good it was or saw how good it was.
Well, and again, the audience is changing, and viewing habits, and again, reading media habits are changing in general.
It's
interesting, and it'll be very interesting to see what happens. Sorry, Scott, I spilled water.
We'll get a towel.
Oh my god!
But no, I agree. I think it's getting.
Yeah, it'll just take, like anything, right? Anything to get fixed just takes time.
Yeah,
it'll take. Our generation hopping in the place of
not
the decision maker.
Sorry, man.
My generation's filled with those damn collectors. And
this is Rick Remender.
This is Tony Moore.
And you're listening to Around Comics, and you should be reading Dear Agent.
Well, I tell you what, that's a lot of our opinion. Let's jump in and get some opinions of the forum posters. All right, our first forum post is from Jamfool. It's one of the fellas from across the pond.
Do it with an English accent.
I can't do the English accent.
I would recommend Manhunter as an excellent monthly.
Monthly.
Go ahead,
Scotty.
It feels like a real old school comic. Before the whole writing for the trade trend, it has lots of ongoing plot lines and stories that lead into each other. Plus, it's not even worth waiting for the trade with Manhunter. I think there's only two out.
He sounds like the Geico Gecko.
Every issue of The Walking Dead has a cliffhanger.
It must be a nightmare to reading it in trade. Many titles have very distinctive 5-6 issue arcs with definite beginnings and endings. Harry Potter. I get most of my comics monthly because they...
Moifly.
I totally fucked it up.
Moifly. I like that he threw the eye
because
in.
I'm
waiting 6 months to read them back. What infuriate me.
Yeah, it's all Australian now.
Oh, yeah, I actually think it's South African.
Waiting 6 months to read more would infuriate me, but I don't think they would really lose anything by reading them as trades. So
well... This guy, completely killed
Blue
this guy's culture.
Mine.
Yeah, really. Yeah, whatever sorry. Your country is. Bad.
So, yeah, that's.
I haven't read Manhunter at all, so I'm
I have.
Actually.
Manhunter's great.
Yeah.
Mark and Draco. I haven't picked it up, but I'll be picking
There's
up.
There's three trades of it out, actually.
Oh.
Yes, we're trying to get build excitement. Maybe you can join the party and actually read the fucking
I'll
book.
I'll try and get in on it.
Would you please?
I'll see what I can do.
All right, Mark
will buy all the single issues and the trades and the hardcovers.
And check out the last. Episode of Quiet Panelologists at Work. The blankety blank segment is my new favorite.
They are
blankety blank.
Comic Book Hero, my buddy, said, I tend to read Marvel and DC books in monthlies and everything else in trades. There are two reasons for this. One, continuity practically demands that you read Marvel and DC books every month. So many books are interconnected, and waiting for the trade on certain books while reading others on a monthly basis could confuse even the smartest people. Two, titles like Why the Last Man and Fables are written with the trade paperback market in mind. Oh. I read both of those series in trade, and I find that the stories lend themselves more to the trade paperback format. I think it is because, in the cases of Why and Fables, the stories are part of a bigger whole.
Cater's just thinking, shut up, Brian, I'm trying to sleep.
In a superhero book...
Cater's is
would you play with
horizontal.
My foot, please?
In a superhero book, one issue is part of a larger arc. In Why or Fables, one arc is part of a larger encompassing story. So
that's true. No,
yeah,
that's
I
absolutely
that. No, I mean, I think we kind
finite
of...
Finite series, I think, do lend themselves better to be read in trade.
Yeah.
Harry Potter believes that trades are so much better than
true.
Anything
I mean,
else.
Mainstream, mainstream continuity is about what's going on now. Yeah. And again, it is a single issue. I mean,
well,
that is
that's
a huge
what I said. It's like, you know, I don't know how I'm going to deal with it.
Well, I think the next one, Tom's going
to
read
I'll have
one,
to watch some Felicity.
Is a neat
get over it.
Juxtaposition to the waiting for the trade for indies.
This is from a nobody.
Whoa.
My own practice as of late is to buy Marvel and DC, even some Image books in trade paperback form. While I support indie books in the single-issue format, Marvel and DC, I think, can take the hit of me not purchasing a book monthly, while an indie book might need all the support it can get to keep surviving. That said, most indies read better in trade, usually due to a lack of completely monthly schedule. It's just that one can never be sure if it'll make it that long.
What are you
also
doing
certain
that way?
Creators work better in the trade format, like Bendis.
Like Bendis.
Like
Tom's
Bendis. All no, I think Tom
Kiter, you is crazy.
I think that brings up an important point that the single issues for a lot of books, if the singles don't do well, then
you're not
going to
see a trade.
To trade.
Yeah, you won't.
And so
won't see one.
The waiting for the trade.
Well,
culture
then, what do I
really
want to read it for?
Well, but like, hey, the crew was a great idea that you know Christopher Priest did, Jim Owsley, and it was a great idea. But unfortunately, people weren't patient. It had a 6-month story arc that introduced the concept that took its time. And the book didn't sell well, and that was it for the crew. But really, it's a shame because I think it would have been a very interesting mm-hmm. book and would have lasted. I think if you're going to do something experimental, you almost have to, especially in those first six issues, either don't do 6 issues. I almost like the Booster Gold method. I mean, that first issue really gave you a lot, gave you an idea of where the series is going to go, and you got it all in the first issue of, if you read issue one, you kind of understand the series and can really make a decision about whether
you want
to continue
keep
or not.
Getting it or...
Yeah, and I think maybe more first issues.
It's kind of the same
thing
we were talking about with TV, is that, you know, for a TV show to get canceled after the first season, with now the waiting for the trade kind of mentality with
DVDs,
mm-hmm. wait for the DVD season. Same thing with comics.
Have any of us read any of these pilot episode or issues, I should say, that Top Cow is experimenting with right now? It's their pilot season.
I have the Ripclaw one, but I haven't read it yet.
That's what Jason Aaron wrote that.
Yeah, he wrote Ripclaw. He did write Ripclaw.
I think it's going to take the companies slowing the roll a little bit, even on the indie titles, just slowing it down and giving it some time to breathe, right? The single, even when it's in single issues, instead of canceling it too fast.
But everything that they're doing is going completely 180 mm-hmm. from that. I mean, they are so about, like, oh, we want you every week, we want you back every week, we want you thinking about, you know,
except
again,
for
these big, stupid
except
freaking
for Vertigo.
Stories. Well, that's its own animal.
At Vertigo, there's this understanding that, you know what, we make our money in trades.
On the back end.
And which is kind of funny, because I think a lot of those books work really well as single issues. You know, Exterminators, Why, you know, whatever.
Scalped.
But they are really geared. That's their business model, is to come out in trades.
Cool. And one other, small part of it, I think, is I think it also gives a little incentive to write better stories.
I was just going to say that. You know what it does is it weeds some stuff out.
Yeah.
Like, if you put
make
a trade
stories.
Out, what I think is you put a trade out and it doesn't sell. Maybe it doesn't mean that people don't want to buy it because they don't want to buy it. Maybe people
it's
aren't buying it because
it's not that good.
Right. Because we are saturated with a lot of books that
there are mainstream trades that mainstream titles come out with their trades like clockwork, especially Marvel and DC.
Sure.
And I agree with you. I think there are a lot of arcs that are not worthy of being collected in a trade. It's like, you guys just didn't hit it those 6 months. Sorry. But the trade exists. And again, the other example of that is Priest and the Crew, where I think it was an interesting idea that didn't get a chance to really breathe.
Yeah.
So.
Got it. Next one is from Funktopus. Trades are great for catching up on titles. I was out for so long, it was hard to figure out the backstory on a lot of the things I heard were great. I ended up buying all the Fables trades in about a week. I'm now working through the Ultimate Spider-Man. I've borrowed Why and Walking Dead just because I've heard so much about them. I'll be picking those up when I have the extra cash.
I need to read Ultimate Spider-Man, I guess.
The first like four of them are really good. You know, and then if you like it, you can continue on.
I mean, the nice thing about it is it's, you know, it's cut away from all the history of it. And, you know, I mean, it's still...
That's why I like it. That's what interests me about it is,
you know, it's fun.
I take arcs off. If it's an interesting arc, I read it.
Yeah,
if it's not an interesting arc, I take
it. Well, that's why I'm interested in it, because of the fact that it shies away. You know, it's out, like, same reason that I loved the Birthright.
It's not tied down.
Superman Birthright.
It's only 2 months.
Although it is, I mean,
it's
it
starting
is
to be.
Sort of, well, it's starting to be, but not too bad. But it is basically based on
Spider-Man.
The history of Spider-Man.
Sure, but
but
it's still rooted in its own history.
Yeah, it's not tied to anything.
And even now, I mean, it's still rooted in its own history, even though it's been going on forever now.
Yeah, it's over 100
but
issues.
But it's still only within its own...
Right,
its title's history,
exactly.
And not, like, tied into...
40 years.
I don't think more than a year has passed, if a year has passed, in real time, in those 100-plus issues of Ultimate Spider-Man.
But I think the interesting point of this is that trades have given new readers a great way to... catch up really quickly.
I guess it's fair, because I think after the speculation implosion of the 90s, most of the big companies have rewritten their continuity to really only start around 99 or 2000 anyway.
Yeah,
I was wondering the
10-year sliding time.
Well, exactly. I'm wondering where the chasm is. Where is that dead period of trades where there aren't trades that cover every story that happened before 1999? I'm assuming that's kind of it.
That's probably
right,
about,
that is,
right there.
Is that about the cutoff?
The next one is from Jose Chung. Generally, and perhaps obviously, speaking one and done's Detective the Spirit work better in monthly format, and arc-driven stories work better in trade, particularly arc-driven stories that are part of a bigger narrative. Why The Last Man and 100 Bullets. I like to sit down and read a story at once, and trades are a cheaper way to do that. I usually wait for the trade for bi-monthlies, All-Star Superman, and those titles with irregular shipping schedules, The Goon. One category that I would prefer, if they are not too pricey, is to have single issues over the trade is comics that were originally published on newsprint. The colors don't transfer too well to the trade format, generally speaking. I'll put out my DD Born Again singles rather than the trade. I'll pull out my DD Born Again singles rather than the trade. I have noticed that they sometimes touch up the colors, but oftentimes they don't, and the colors are pretty distracting.
Well, actually, you know what? As far as the color is, the people who see color for the first time on newsprint don't realize that's not what the color's supposed to look like.
Right.
Because newsprint soaks up the ink in a different way. Mm-hmm. The well, trade is
the,
what
the white,
is
the
what
white
it,
value of the
when,
paper
yeah,
is.
When you put
but I think you have, like, they did the Superman Chronicles, which are done on, like, that cheaper newsprint mm-hmm. kind of paper, and I think those
I mean, sometimes it has more character and it
yeah.
looks better, but even that's still not looking like what they intended it to look
it to,
like. Yeah. Our next one is from Area Code 212. I think the difference
New
between...
York.
What? Where is 212?
Yeah, it is
New
York.
I think that the difference between stories that read best in singles and those that read best as trades generally has to do with how complex the story is and how familiar the reader is with the quote-unquote world building that the book takes place in. DC / Marvel superhero comics tend to read quite nicely as monthlies because the stories are relatively straightforward and easy to remember, and most readers already know the backstory. We don't need to constantly remind ourselves about who Batman's supporting cast is or why the Hulk is so mad. On the other hand, I prefer to read titles like Lucifer and Hunter Bullets. did he mean the antithesis?
Yeah, I think he meant,
the antithesis of a wait for the trade book in collected form. Because as monthlies, I would constantly have to sit there and say to myself, okay, what's going on? Who is that? This guy again? Well, trade's the same way with the Hunter Bullets. But, yeah. You know what's funny is, like, everybody on the forum is saying the exact same thing.
What
that, like, it's just that was Tom's voice right there just a second ago that said, well, whatever, let's just fucking
what's
move
going,
on.
You, okay, what's going on?
Yeah, that was Tom.
What's going on? Tom's sleepy.
Our next is from Josh S. I'm not going to try and pronounce his
Josh
name.
Josh Ship.
Ship. Why is that so hard? Forget
you guys
about
only read his name every week.
It had an I in it.
And the biggest downside of trades is how quickly I go through them. I devoured the Runaways Digest and was left craving more. I think I enjoy being able to savor a story in monthly. As long as the release schedule doesn't get out of hand. I'm looking at you, Damon Lindelof.
Yeah, it's you can... eat up 6 months worth of comics pretty quickly.
There's comments on the video stream.
Okay, what's one of the comments?
Check out my webcams.
S. Rockwood says, I read Dark Knight Strikes Back before Returns, and I have no idea why people have such a problem with it.
Yeah, good job. Go to bed.
Come pick me up.
Someone was saying that they liked Sin City, obviously, in trade versus the single issues. Well, that's the other
the
thing,
HP,
obviously,
I mean,
with creator-owned pieces.
Wasn't even single issues.
Sometimes, yeah, exactly. I mean, they're really not monthlies. I mean, they really are when I can finish them and when we get the book out. So that's always an issue as well.
Seth Hurley said, I only really read Casanova and Criminal in single issues because of the extras.
Yep.
More often than not, I finish a trade that collects 6 issues or so, and I think I would go nuts if I had to wait 6 months to read what I just did in 30 minutes. My girlfriend loved Preacher, loved Why the Last Man, loved Fables, loved Hellboy, but she said that she would have never read any of them if she had to read them month to month over a 5-year period instead of over a weekend.
Tell her to become more patient.
Aside from having a big slab of story to read in one go, most of my reasons for buying trades are practical ones. No advertisements, not having to keep multiple plots from multiple books straight from month to month, being able to buy trades anywhere and for less, being able to resell trades anywhere if I don't like them, being able to loan a book rather than a stack of singles to non-comic reading friends, and being able to shelve them on bookcase rather than storing them in boxes. Yeah, I didn't even think about... We didn't even mention anything about advertisements. There's no ads in trades, which
that is fucking beautiful.
Yeah, which is really
nice.
You
mean you don't like an 8-page hot dog ad in the middle?
With the fist springing from your chest?
With a giant hairy arm stuffing a hot dog in a boy's
mouth. Into a child's face?
Or you're like, oh, fucking Superman's gonna kill this guy. Oh, shit, you know what? Tobacco is wacko.
Yeah.
Fuck, I'm glad they reminded me.
A great mix of ads.
I miss the letter columns in a lot of trades.
I miss the letter columns
in anything.
In Walking Dead, I love the letters column in Walking Dead.
I never read them.
Yeah,
I don't want to
do you read Powers?
You know what I like about trades?
Columns and Powers?
Nah.
Oh, I love them. They're hilarious.
Versus, like, there's no ads, and the extras you get in trades. Like, for as an artist, coming up before I was even in the industry, I always loved seeing the process stuff that would go on in the back, because a lot of times that's how I learned what comic books were done on. Like, I thought, what are these insane borders?
Yeah, what?
What is that? I thought, they don't do it on lined notebook paper?
Yeah.
Fucking again,
That's why this change of with Fraction and Brubaker, for example, taking the extras out of the trade.
To encourage the single sales.
Which, and I can and I do understand what they're thinking, but it's also like, guys, that's half the reason why people buy the trades.
Yeah, but it needs to be, in their perspective, half the reason why you buy the singles.
I understand.
Yeah. All right, our next one is from G-Dog. Okay, so G-Dog says, my internal conflict with the monthly versus trade comes down to three things.
I'm psycho.
What is the likelihood of something being collected? Today, anything with a Vertigo logo will be solicited as a trade before the ink dries on the last collected issue. However, it seems that Marvel and DC supers aren't collected nearly as often. I'm not waiting 3 years to read 52, and I can't go a week without some podcaster bitching about some Starman or Black Panther run that has never been collected.
I will bitch about it.
How well does it read collected? Ultimate Fantastic Four and Ultimate X-Men are great in trades, but are boring as hell monthly.
What?
Same thing with The Boys. Other than cash...
I like The Boys monthly, I have to be honest.
It's all opinion. Other than cash, like there's also little point to reading one shot.
Scotty likes Boys.
Like The Spirit Fell and Detective in collections. The Book Club Effect. Sure, World War Hulk and the Sinestro Corps will make great hardcovers, but everybody's talking about them now. I like to keep up with the comic community as much as I can, so I try to keep up on the popular titles and events just so I can add to the conversation.
What is this thing you call World War Hulk?
I don't want to be the only guy at the party that won't let people talk about The Sopranos because he isn't caught up on DVDs.
I'm that guy.
Well, you know, Sal talked about that earlier.
Watched any Sopranos. You know, don't tell me anything.
You wanna...
Scotty kills every water cooler
I do.
Conversation.
Seriously. I go on the Crankcast, right? It's not even my show. And they'll start going to be talking about Heroes I Haven't Finished Yet. What do I say on their show? Don't.
No. We gotta
I know this is a show talking about stuff, but don't talk about stuff.
You know, probably pretty much everybody that's listening to this podcast or any other podcast is an active internet person.
Yeah, I mean, you're trying to be part of the community, and that's the fun. I mean, that's part of the fun of it. I'm just going to call Tom from now on, and he's going to give me a weekly wrap up.
And I'll tell you, I'll give you Tom Cater's weekly wrap
up of every book.
Cater's comics.
Every book.
All right, why don't you handle our
last
one?
I'm just going to go online and go to Bookworm Bitches and
Chris Hansborough said, there are very few books that read well as singles when you could compare them to the trade. Yeah, there are great runs out there and great story arcs, but the problem is, a lot of books regularly have lackluster single issues but read amazingly well as a full story in a trade. Very few writers nowadays seem to be able to get enough meat into every issue, which has had a lot of people drop books early to do them due to them being crap. When in a lot of cases, they come together towards the end and become something brilliant. Guys like Bendis are constantly guilty of that act. The writers I can think of that give the meat you need for a truly happy single experience are Jeff Johns, who's a master of the cliffhanger. John Rogers is doing a fantastic job of making every issue of Blue Beetle stand on its own, but also being part of a bigger story. Greg Pak with Planet Hulk was amazing. Christos Gage is fantastic with the cliffhangers and really puts a ton of meat into every story. Greg Ruckholz has a knack for cramming just enough into every issue.
Oh, yeah.
Mark Andranko was also amazing with Manhunter. Brian K. Vaughan is BKV, the second best writer alive. Who's the first?
Scotty Young.
Voice of God.
You guys read that 12-page Frankenstein story?
Yeah. Scared the shit out of me.
Did that have words in it?
Bitch.
Wow.
All right,
motherfucker,
so,
please.
Well, that's the forum post. And actually, that's only a few of the forum posts, and some of those have been edited down quite a bit. That this kind of topic is the kind that sparks a lot of discussion. So if you want to get the rest of the forum posts,
will people listen to this episode, or they wait for the 6-episode collected edition?
With the behind the scenes,
the extra edition.
The absolute around comics.
What are we doing?
That's when you have a scratch and sniff that smells like the room you guys had that Rachel just
finished. Well, we have a DVD commentary going over our commentary.
Yeah, like spinal tap.
Over ourselves.
Yeah, this is where I talked about this.
Caters, yeah, I was really sleepy.
Oh, that was great.
That was good. Well, watch this moment. Listen.
So, I don't know if we want final thoughts or anything like that, but, you know, it's an ongoing discussion.
We covered it, and then we got really redundant, and they covered it.
I think we beat this to death.
Yeah.
Some singles are
Wait
good.
Wait for the trade.
Some trades are good.
Yeah. If you buy singles, you're wrong.
But still,
if you buy trades, you're
if you buy trades, you're an idiot.
We hope we've answered the question of which is better, because some people just didn't know.
We just divided this room like north and south, baby.
The singles will rise again.
Buy whatever you want.
Yeah.
Just
buy
do what's
porn.
Right. Do what's right for you.
Just buy porn. Let's do a porn podcast.
BitTorrent at all.
Yeah, BitTorrent.
We didn't even
All right. We got what do we got now? Some listener emails?
Yes.
Yes,
Let's
we
do.
Do.
Let's do it.
I'll read this
from north of the border.
This is from Zero Enigma, our favorite bipolar poster. This is a question mostly for Scotty, spelled with a K, baby. Do you get paid page rates that are from the sales of the books, like say the book
you're
like
on.
Say the book you're on sells only 5,000 copies, would you get
That's
a small
ridiculous.
Check that issue because it didn't sell much? What if the book sold 100,000 copies?
That's more like
would
it.
Would you have
scale.
An amazing page rate, or is it like $150 a page, and that's it no matter how much it sells?
Well, I'm not going to tell you what I make
I think
per page.
I think
well,
a lot of people are different, sure. whatever deals they have. Yeah.
I mean, I get paid a lot.
Back up the truck.
Get paid, but it's a lot.
Yeah,
I mean, any sales.
I do.
And all these DVDs aren't on credit.
I do have a runway that a plane comes every Tuesday and gives me my bag of cash.
Gives you a bag of cash with the young.
Yeah. No.
And yet, no car. Interesting.
I don't need a car when I can teleport, dude. Jesus.
He has his driver come.
Fuck. I mean, I bought a teleporting thing. Machine.
It's a thing.
Thing machine.
Scotty's beaming over. Hold on. Step away from there. He's beaming over right
yeah.
where
he's
standing.
So it costs me $3 million every time I do that. Here, watch.
Casey, beam me out of the thing. Let's go to
iPod.
Dinner.
I imagine you like in a Napoleon Dynamite when they had the time machine. It was just the thing that was just electrocuting them.
The alligator clips to your balls, exactly.
No,
it doesn't work.
On a for real, on for real.
Right, when you
what
put it that
fuck?
Way, who could be?
You get, as a comic book artist, you get paid a page rate, a flat page rate per page for pencils and whatever you do. Then you get, depending on your, you know, who you are, what deal you get or whatever, you'll get royalties. Based on the sales. So it's almost like bonuses on top.
Right.
So you get a flat page rate for doing the work, and you'll get royalties on that, and you'll get royalties on single issues, you get royalties on some trades. But again, I mean, every company's different, every deal
and
is different.
And depending on what your books sell, you can probably negotiate better page rates the next time around or whatever.
Sure, sure. I mean, like 5,000? A lot of, you know, time put in, different books or what you've been able to bring to a book. I mean, it all depends.
Yeah.
But on a very base level, it's a flat page rate.
Yeah.
You get a flat page rate and everything. So, yeah, that's pretty much how it rolls.
$15.
All right. Our next email is from Eric Houston. It says, "Hey, guys. I want to congratulate you on the excellent Mike Waringo tribute. I was a big fan of his work on Spidey and FF, and was sad to see him go so soon. I'd also like to comment on Telos being a sort of contraction of Tell Us, which I think was Scotty's point.
Actually, it was Sal's point.
I just read it.
Out of the book.
Yeah.
I had not heard that before, and even though I have
money.
Only read a little of Telos, it seems very, very appropriate. Telos is also the ancient Greek word for the end. And as I listen to the podcast, especially the parts about Ringo's personal philosophy and desire to bring back fun into comics, it occurred to me that this other interpretation of the title is just as appropriate, since Telos really is the ultimate extension of Mike's beliefs and desires for the medium. All in all, I think it's a tremendous double meaning. I'm looking forward to discovering more of Mike's work now, especially through the Telos Colossal Edition and the new Spider-Man and Fantastic Four trade. Thanks again, guys.
Just Mother! Yes. Oh, well, when I saw it when he wrote the end, I just thought of the end by this the doors.
The so no, but I can't wait to get the Telos Colossal edition.
Yeah, I'm going to be buying that too. Next one is from Skip Jenkin. I've recently returned to the world of comics, for which 90% of the credit is due to you guys and your picks.
Yes.
I have to admit, I haven't heard of Waringo before this episode. Please excuse me. Like I said, I've been out of the loop.
Go to hell.
But the way you talk about your friend makes it obvious he has been a pioneer, and if I were to not read his work, I would surely be missing out. I'm heading down to my local shop shortly to pick up some of his critical reading. Thank you guys for putting out such a great show, and in the spirit of making sure things are said, I want you guys to know that I absolutely love the show. It has rekindled my love of comics, and just in time to pass that love of the art to my 9-month-old daughter. Well, thanks, oh, wow. Skip.
She's going to be popular.
Yeah. I mean, the Ringo thing was, you know, we just keep hearing from people. And
That's cool.
Yeah, yeah, it really is.
It's getting pretty fucking depressing in here right now. Yeah,
bring the room down. There you go.
Hi, guys.
But it's good that, you know.
Bring it back, Tom. Bring
Hi,
it back.
Guys. Matt here. I think we all know. Hi. I think we all know of those series which we feel were canceled far before their time, while so many others linger from far past their expiration date. I still weep when I think of the death of Wildcats 3.0.
Oh,
it was so such a terrific, mature, unconventional take on the Wildcats universe, which deserves so much more than the 24 issues. Who else but Joe Casey would kneecap gun fetishist Grifter and keep him in a wheelchair for the majority of the series? Anywho, which series do you wish had dodged that comic-killing bullet? Keep up the good work.
I like Lord Poplamoose. I like that.
Really?
Nobody spoke for me, Peter.
Steampunk is a book for me that I think should have come out in graphic novel format to begin with because it was too dense and visual to be cut up per month, and it was a late schedule. It took a long time to do, and that got chopped. There was only 12 issues. It was meant to be 24, and it got chopped in half. So it was only 12 issues came out, and that is a book that I wished could have went to the end.
I missed the thing.
Slot's thing was awesome, man.
It was funny.
It was very funny. It was a damn good book.
Black Panther, the Christopher Priest Black Panther series. And
although that really, you know, 5 years is a pretty decent run.
Yeah, it was.
It's not like it was cut off before its time.
5 years?
And one here recently that I'm still really pissed at is Blade.
Yeah, that was, God.
Blade, I'll
12,
give that to you.
12 exceptional issues, great ending, it's a goddamn shame.
I'm pissed at people out there for that. Book being
you have
canceled.
A lot of anger.
I'm
are you listener. Taking my leaf?
My anger
me?
Is a gift, and I am angry about Blade being canceled.
My anger is a gift.
My anger is lending to me.
It was such a good series. I'm really going to miss that book.
No, I agree with you.
Indian Giver.
Call Mark Guggenheim and cry on his shoulder.
But I get to see them in Wolverine. So
there you go.
Same team. So
get to see
Chaikin's going there too.
Chaikin Guggenheim on Wolverine.
Yep.
I have nothing.
Blade.
Sal has nothing but contempt for you all.
I just let everything run its course. And
Sal's
don't
pull list is 10 books, the top 10 selling books.
The past is for cowards.
Thank you, Ditka. Thank you, Coach. Thank you, Coach, for guiding us to another.
I can't really think of
can
anything.
Can we chance
it? Past is for cowards, gang.
I was going to say Black. I was going to say Blade.
Well, there's so many now that
Chris had to pick two.
There's so many series now that instead of being series, they try them out as mini series, so they're not really canceled. They're just not.
But I think that's good. It's funny when we were on a break. I was talking to Tom while he was sleeping, and I said maybe a character like Hawkman doesn't deserve an ongoing book. Maybe a character, no offense to Mike Norton and Gail Simone, who I like both. Maybe the Atom isn't able to sustain a regular series.
Are you prejudiced against Thanagarians?
And apparently Tiny Heroes. But no, I would say
Adam's not canceled.
No, but I'm saying that. No, but I think it's in danger of being canceled. Actually.
Oh, I hope not.
I don't think it's a very good selling book.
There's no Tiny Heroes around. Just tiny readers.
No, it's look at what Gail does with the Secret Six. She has a story arc come out. It's great, and then it goes away for a few months. If you've got a story, what's wrong with the miniseries? I think a miniseries is a great way to go with a lot of characters, maintain the trademark and stuff. Tell a cool story and get the fuck out.
It does seem like DC is much more apt to attempt everything as an ongoing right out of the gate.
Yeah, they do seem.
Where Marvel's the exact opposite. There are so many books.
What are the late miniseries of Marvel? Honestly, I'm trying to think of anything.
Everything's a miniseries that comes out of Marvel. If it's not tied into an event, it's a mini. Almost everything.
Okay. Because I remember that like in the 90s it being that way, but honestly.
Usually it's not tied in, like any book that's tied in with an event will more than likely be a regular book.
Omega Flight is a mini. Yeah. That's true.
Everything outside of event books is usually is a mini.
Well, I mean, they really could have almost made Blade, you know, a 12-issue miniseries. That's how I will always.
They call that a maxi series. Two short minis combined to make a maxi.
Can we change the description of our show in iTunes to just be "The Past Is for Cowards"?
Like be called the maxi.
And never have any old episodes.
Cowards and losers, my friend.
Yes.
Only cowards and losers live in the past.
Yeah, we'll be like This American Life. You can only download the last. All right, well, let's wrap this puppy up.
Yes, because the argument will go on forever.
Those, of course, were our emails. You can email us at info@aroundcomics.com. You can also reach us at Sal, Chris, or Tom at Around Comics. And there are, of course, other ways that you can be a friend of the program.
Or sal@waterballoons.com.
Spankingwaterballoons.com.
You can go to aroundcomics.com where you can download and print out our LCS Challenge flyer. Ask your comic shop manager or owner if they will display it in the store.
Would you put this in the window?
If they do, send us an email, and we'll mention you and the store on the show, as well as post it on our site. Become a friend of the program today.
If you'd like to take the cord of your mouse, wrap it around Chris's neck until he chokes and to climax.
Too much. Go, go.
What? I was wondering where you're going with that.
Go to the iTunes and leave a review. Thanks to those who did, like Dane BK, The Goot, Lazy Summerstone, and Paris 312.
That's hot.
I love you all.
Hot. Check out all the great things that aroundcomics.com has to offer. We post next week's topic on Tuesdays at our forum.
Coward!
Aroundcomics.com. Remember, you can also visit us at Comic Space and MySpace. Though both of those are for cowards.
And losers.
And losers.
Gang.
Gang.
We are proud members of the Comics Podcast Network. You can find more great podcasts at comicspodcast.com. So we have...
Robot still exists?
Shall Harry Carey read our in-stock trades? We've got to have a Harry Carey sighting here.
You want that or to deal?
From beyond the grave. Hey, performing...
I think the deal would get more out of in-stock trades, but I'll do it either way. Waiting for the trade has never been easier from your friends at InStockTrades.com. They offer a huge selection of the collected editions you need. InStockTrades.com is your source for trade paperbacks, deluxe hardcovers, essentials, showcases, archives, absolute editions, omnibus editions, and more, Arnie. All at great discounted prices. Oh. And remember, friends, that all orders over $50 ship free. Whether you're buying an absolute edition or catching up with showcases and essentials, InStockTrades.com, spelled backwards, is mock said Artricock-stock-nit. And they're your new best friend. That's InStockTrades.com. And now Yvonne De Jesus is at the plate.
Proud to help support the Hero Initiative. Hero creates a financial safety net for yesterday's creators who need emergency medical aid, financial support for essential life, and an avenue back into paying work. It's a chance for all of us to give back something for the people who have given us so much enjoyment. For more information, visit heroinitiative.org or call 310-909-7809.
What's their new, the thing they announced this week?
Oh, it's the 3-minute sketch.
Yes.
It's
which is cool.
Yeah, it's I think just a fan went around to conventions getting 3-minute sketches, and
he's been doing it for years. Now he's sort of donating it all to Hero.
And they're making a collection out of it.
It's a good idea.
Off the original
what
work?
Wake up, Tom.
It's the Legion Tom. It's the Legion Tom.
What?
What?
Yeah, some always neat stuff. Check out the Hero Initiative site, and they will keep you updated on events coming to a convention.
Are they
going to
do another Mercury Cafe thing like last fall?
I hope so. You know, Jim and those folks are always coming up with neat, fun ideas. That's here in Chicago.
Yeah, I'm talking Chicago people.
You know,
because I saw them at the booth at Wizard. I meant to ask them.
I would imagine so. Yeah. Well, everyone, I want to thank everyone that emailed into this week, WEF forum post, all the people watching on the live cam.
My mom and dad.
We are live.
How sweaty is his face now? Seriously, from wearing that fucking Spider-Man mask.
The luchador mask.
It's not
on
a luchador. It's like
Spider-Man.
A Slipknot.
Yeah.
Was it Slipknot? I thought it was Spider-Man.
He's got dreads.
If you guys don't know what we're talking about, we are live casting on every Friday night, starting about 9 o'clock Central Standard Time. So just go to aroundcomics.com. You can join in all of the fun there.
Yeah, you can watch us sit around.
Disembodied voice like John Forsythe.
You might get an occasional ass shot from Casey.
From my lady.
Nice.
He's got his girl.
From my lady. I want
to thank the ghost of John Suntris for dropping by. It's good to have you back, buddy. Sal, yes. Tom, Scotty, thank you for hosting
us. For hosting
You're welcome.
He's like, this has never happened.
You're welcome.
Again.
Exactly. Man, we're trash.
You're welcome, guys. Cowards.
Get caters feed all over
this
his
is this is a good preview for him for
couch.
the 24-hour podcast.
No,
that's
already canceled at my house.
He's already decided that's a bad idea.
Bad idea.
that's not going to happen.
I figured that was going to be at the crank cave.
No. I don't know if the 24-hour podcast has a home yet. So
doesn't.
All right, folks, we'll be back again on Monday. So have a great rest of your week and weekend. In the meantime.
In between time.
We'll be everywhere in.
And around Chris's taint.
Wow. Setting up camp.
I'm not the object
with
of
water
balloon.
Setting up camp.
If you would like to suggest a topic, send us your comments, or are interested in becoming a panel member, email us at info@aroundcomics.com or visit the Contact Us section of our website. Music for the show provided by the Podshow Podsafe Music Network, music.podshow.com. Views expressed in the interviews or by guests of the show are solely those of the individuals expressing them and do not reflect the opinions of Around Comics. Thank you for listening today, and remember to join us next time when the panel will change, but our mission will stay the same. Bringing you the very best news, reviews, and opinions in and around comics. Around Comics is a Pipe Dream production. Copyright 2006. All rights reserved. Love you, baby. Yeah.